When Oprah Winfrey featured Deepak Chopra's MetaHuman on her 2019 book club selection, she described it as a revolutionary book that offers a radical re-examination of what it means to be human. The book quickly climbed bestseller lists worldwide, with figures from Ariana Huffington to Lady Gaga praising its transformative insights. What makes this work so compelling is Chopra's unique ability to bridge ancient wisdom with cutting-edge science, offering a roadmap for transcending our limited self-conception. As a physician trained in Western medicine who later embraced Eastern philosophical traditions, Chopra presents a compelling case that what we consider normal consciousness is merely a fraction of our true potential. Through MetaHuman, he invites readers on a journey beyond the boundaries of conventional thinking into a realm of infinite possibility, a journey millions have found both intellectually stimulating and deeply personal. We live in a golden age of material comfort and technological advancement, yet millions strive to improve their lives without improving their personal reality. This fundamental disconnect exists because we're trapped in what Chopra calls virtual reality, not the headset-induced kind, but an all-encompassing illusion we've accepted since childhood. Nothing we perceive is as it seems. Our brains process invisible photons in total darkness, yet we see a colorful world. Letters on a page are merely black specks until our minds give them meaning. Even perspective is constantly adjusted. We don't perceive a person's nose as disproportionately large when they stand close to us, though that's what our eyes actually detect. Everything we experience is filtered, interpreted, and constructed by our minds. This virtual reality began in infancy and has been reinforced throughout our lives. We believe we're seeing objective reality, but we're actually experiencing a simulation created by our consciousness. Consider how easily our perceptions can be manipulated. A Stanford study revealed that merely telling people they had certain genes dramatically altered their physiology. Those told they had obesity protective genes showed leptin levels 2.5 times higher, while those told they had poor exercise genes displayed reduced lung capacity and exhaustion. Our bodies conform to mind-made reality. The mechanistic view of humans as sophisticated robots, where emotions are reduced to brain hormones and behaviors to genetic programming, is deeply flawed. We aren't machines, but conscious agents with unlimited potential for creativity and change. We become metahuman by choosing to be metahuman, not by surrendering to biological determinism. Somewhere in prehistory, Homo sapiens crossed into this virtual reality, creating a mind-made simulation that became essential to our evolution. We've made this simulation so convincing that we've lost ourselves in it. Yet this simulation regularly breaks down during shock, trauma, or extreme emotions when we feel that this can't be happening or it's unreal. These moments offer glimpses of what lies beyond our constructed reality. When you see your reflection in the mirror, self-recognition seems natural, yet this simple act reinforces countless limitations. The sense of I develops gradually. Children don't recognize themselves in mirrors until around 18 months. Everyone lives in their own personal reality. 100 people viewing a sunset are seeing 100 different sunsets. The ego appears indispensable. It's what makes you feel uniquely you. But this uniqueness comes at a price. I doesn't just have an agenda. I is the agenda, coming with built-in demands that create a state of perpetual neediness that can never be fulfilled. Our ancestors faced a mental crisis as our brains became too complex for their own good. Unlike other creatures guided by instinct, humans gained freedom of choice in all behaviors. The problem wasn't simply brain growth, but diminishing instinct, leaving us with infinite choices that couldn't fit within finite physiology. Every newborn faces this same dilemma, too much information bombarding the higher brain. Just as we edit our visual field when searching for our car in a crowded parking lot, focusing only on what's relevant, our consciousness developed mechanisms to filter the overwhelming flood of raw data. This editing ability defines our identity. We become what we choose to focus on and exclude everything else through me or not me decisions. The ego metastasizes through these choices, often closing us off from new possibilities to suit fixed preferences. Self-awareness has left clues throughout human history. The first written name belongs to an Egyptian pharaoh from 3200 BCE, while polished stone mirrors date to 6000 BCE. Remarkably, self-recognition isn't unique to humans. Great apes, elephants, magpies, and dolphins can recognize themselves in mirrors. Even more astonishing are humanoid figures crafted by our ancestors between 700,000 to 230,000 BCE by Homo erectus, revealing that self-awareness predates not just Homo sapiens, but even Neanderthals. Unlike other species that adapt to their environment, humans evolved to feel superior and to control nature. This gave us an evolutionary advantage, but also created separation. The ego isn't our enemy, but it is limiting. Having chosen I as our most intimate companion, we've agreed to filter, censor, and judge experiences, like using a powerful computer just for emails. Human potential has no boundaries because consciousness itself is boundless. Being human means anything can happen. In the inner domain of consciousness, possibilities for new thoughts, insights, and discoveries are unlimited, making us fundamentally a consciousness-based species. The phenomenon of sudden genius provides compelling evidence that human beings are already connected to infinite possibilities. This term, coined by physician Daryl Treffert, describes spontaneous moments where the rules of music, art, or mathematics are suddenly revealed, producing instant giftedness. One striking example is K.A., a 28-year-old man who could only casually pick out tunes on piano until one day at a shopping mall when he suddenly understood musical scales, chords, and harmony without any prior knowledge. When he later researched music theory, he discovered he already knew most of it. Where does sudden knowledge come from when someone hasn't studied it? Meta-reality serves as the storage place for everything ever thought and everything that could be thought. Unlike the internet's cloud, which exists in massive physical data centers, consciousness has no physical location. Infinity can exist in one dimension, like an endless string of digits, 0.666, etc., or in multiple dimensions simultaneously. Flow is a multidimensional state where everything goes right, obstacles disappear, and answers come effortlessly. This coordinated experience brings calmness and happiness, sometimes reaching ecstasy, where creative ideas seem to arrive of their own accord. Flow feels mysterious because it comes and goes unpredictably, but it's simply unobstructed access to meta-reality experiencing wholeness. Our prehistoric ancestors became multidimensional long ago, evidenced by cave paintings dating back 35,000, 42,000 years in Indonesia. These sophisticated artworks, found globally from France to Indonesia, show remarkable skill. Animal figures drawn in single strokes by torchlight deep in caves. The artist prepared surfaces, depicted animals in motion, and created scenes showing an awakening in consciousness. This artistic explosion represents evolutionary development beyond mere survival value, drawing on the whole mind with attributes like curiosity, intelligence, purpose, coordination, and skill. We are whole-mind creatures, as demonstrated by even simple tasks like buying a birthday cake. Such an errand requires coordinating emotion, intention, visual recognition, memory, motor skills, and judgment. Neuroscience can locate where these activities happen in the brain, but cannot explain how they mesh into unified action. The brain shifts instantaneously between complex patterns without any visible transition mechanism. Freedom means escaping the trap of feeling trapped. Shakespeare's Hamlet expresses both the depths of depression, where the earth seems a sterile promontory and the sky merely a foul and pestilent congregation of vapors, and the heights of Renaissance optimism about human potential, calling man infinite in faculty, like an angel in action, and like a god in understanding. Despite having unlimited potential as multidimensional beings, humans remain starkly divided, one side craving freedom, the other deeply fearing it. Freedom means boundless awareness, the very definition of metahuman. But we're born into a reality hemmed in by rules and forbidden thoughts. The ultimate forbidden thought, none of this is real, terrifies us because it expands the unknown infinitely. Throughout history, the search for consciousness has been haphazard and hazardous. Human culture encompasses both nonviolence in Buddhism and early Christianity, alongside warrior cultures like the Mongols and Vikings. Many traits we take for granted, romantic love, childhood innocence, human dignity, were absent or differently conceived in earlier societies. Our evolution has been inconsistent and contradictory, reflecting our divided consciousness. The stories that shaped civilization limited our infinite potential. While rationality has brought impressive progress, it has also enabled horrors like atomic bombs and environmental destruction. The scientific view dismisses consciousness as either an illusion created by brain activity or merely a Darwinian adaptation, ignoring the hard problem of subjectivity. Science has both liberated us and blocked our path to the absolute freedom metahuman offers. Physicist André Linde challenges the materialistic doctrine by asserting that our knowledge of the world begins not with matter, but with perceptions. He argues that we've substituted our direct perceptions with theories about an independent material world. The materialistic model breaks down when confronting deep issues like creation itself. Linde suggests the universe cannot exist without consciousness. It requires an observer. Einstein recognized our isolation in modern life as a kind of optical delusion of consciousness that imprisons us. Virtual reality represents every mind-made limitation that keeps meta-reality beyond our grasp. Only by pursuing freedom can we rescue both reality and ourselves. The new creation story begins by positing that consciousness is the foundation of everything. Unlike traditional stories like the Big Bang, which collapse into logical paradoxes when we ask what came before time and space, consciousness requires no beginning or end. It simply is everything, always, and everywhere. This perspective unifies mind, matter, and life as inseparable aspects of consciousness experiencing itself. All living organisms engage in cognitive interactions with their environment, meaning life cannot exist without mind. From butterflies with their alien-like sensory systems to humans, consciousness manifests in infinite forms while remaining the same essential stuff, like gold jewelry, where shapes change but the gold remains constant. Our psychological fail-safes protect us from confronting the overwhelming nature of infinite potential, but they can shatter unexpectedly. The case of Elva illustrates this perfectly. Her purse-snatching incident destroyed her illusion of specialness and safety, plunging her into existential crisis. Her world fractured as she lost belief in her personal invulnerability, feeling stripped, ordinary, unprotected. Our collective consciousness created the human experience, space, time, matter, and energy, an invisible inheritance we absorb in childhood. Once learned, these constructs seem inescapable, like literacy. We can't unlearn reading or return to experiencing time as non-existent. Yet time remains a construct, not an absolute reality. Reality must be rebuilt to account for consciousness's creative role. There are only two levels of reality: unbounded pure consciousness, a field of potential, and consciousness in its excited state, the universe. Everything, rocks, neurons, bodies, minds, represents excited modes of consciousness vibrating with energy. This explains why time is malleable, conforming to our human needs. consciousness isn't bound by its own creation, dictating whether to be as tiny as a quark or immense as the universe. This dispels objections about scale. Consciousness doesn't respect size limits, just as in dreams, where a mouse can be as terrifying as an army. Science fails by leaving consciousness out of explanations. Once virtual reality is dismantled, there's no going back. Everything becomes shifting modes of consciousness. Consciousness is the only viable self-creator, turning itself into mind, body, brain, and universe, a radical departure from physical explanations of the cosmos. Just by existing, pure consciousness generates reality. Our minds generate a livable human world from the staggering multiplicity of raw reality. But this virtual reality contains meaning, which was always there as a primary trait of meta-reality. Joy, love, vitality, intelligence, and infinite potential needed no creator. They came with existence. Pure consciousness cannot be interviewed like God, but self-creation has always been viable. Humans created their own version of reality and continue doing so. Creativity is intrinsic to us like breathing. All life forms engage in self-creation, though most let it roll over them. In the womb's final stages, the brain is the last organ to develop, exploding with growth potential at birth. The cerebrum triples in weight during the last trimester and continues accelerating growth outside the womb, expanding 64% in the first 90 days. A newborn has twice the brain cells of an adult, though the brain weighs half as much. As it grows to full size over 3 years, the baby brain undergoes synaptic pruning, uniquely disposing of connections not needed for that specific individual. This pruning isn't random but anticipatory. Brain areas controlling speech activate in 7-month-olds long before they speak. This challenges the fallacy that brain creates mind. Consciousness must be the knowing element in every cell, as atoms and molecules can't know speech will be necessary. To access meta-reality, we must first open the brain's reducing valve, which recent medical interest in psychedelics has illuminated. Michael Pollan's investigation in How to Change Your Mind has revived scientific interest in substances once considered taboo. These drugs affect the default mode network, DMN, brain regions that filter information and regulate cerebral activity. The DMN, which develops around age 5, functions as the brain's me network, organizing our stable adult self while tamping down irrational impulses. While psychedelics may have medical benefits, they're ultimately limited. They can show what lies beyond the limited mind, but only self-awareness allows permanent inhabitation of mind at large. The separation between us and meta-reality is the thinnest of veils, requiring only a clear, open state of mind, uncluttered by random thoughts. The direct path bypasses ordinary ways of seeing and thinking that keep us trapped in virtual reality. While direct might suggest immediacy or ease, its meaning in spiritual contexts is nuanced. This book advocates for a simple, painless approach, exchanging illusion for reality. Common pitfalls include mistaking awakening for self-improvement, assuming you know the goal, hoping higher consciousness will solve all problems, rushing the process, rigidly following methods, seeking reverence as a spiritual person, and being affected by temporary successes and failures. The direct path is valid only if it leads to where you already are. Each person is already a conscious, creative being in a state of wholeness. The only change needed is a shift in identity, recognizing this inherent completeness. Your deepest desire to wake up activates the awareness needed to reach this goal. Nature's wholeness offers crucial insight into our own. While modern physics acknowledges the universe operates as a whole, scientific methods tend to subdivide nature into smaller increments, losing sight of wholeness. Life's evolution reveals profound creativity, from single-celled organisms to complex multicellular life. This leap wasn't necessary, but represented creative exuberance. Self-regulation, not physical forces, is what truly holds creation together. This invisible quality of wholeness explains why brain cells don't become liver cells, why our bodies maintain their integrity rather than dissolving into constituent atoms. The human body demonstrates remarkable sensitivity, functioning within a narrow temperature range, just 20 degrees from death. Your sense of self is what makes you whole already. It's the common denominator in every experience, present whether you're captivated by a movie or debating opposing viewpoints. It's independent of any thought, belief, or physical sensation. Unlike artificial intelligence, which merely imitates thought, your sense of self tells you that you are you, a built-in trait no physical process created. As consciousness is everywhere, always, and everything, you are everywhere, always, and everything. Yet daily conditioning tells you the opposite, that you're a solitary person with limited lifespan and specific attributes. The virtual reality we must dismantle divides life into compartments: body, mind, world, and others. From a meta-human perspective, any such division only supports the illusion, since wholeness cannot be a collection of parts. Your body is your story in physical form. The brain stores all learned skills and experiences, making them physically embodied in you. But dividing these experiences into mental versus physical returns us to illusion. A baby learning to walk experiences the process holistically, all at once, here and now. Any skill acquisition happens not in separate mental and physical dimensions, but in one dimension, awareness. Even positive attitudes toward aging still leave you trapped in your story, with regret over the past and fear of physical decline woven into your narrative. The body absorbs every detail of your life story and mirrors it back. To be trapped in your story and trapped in your body are the same thing. Your brain has been shaped since birth, communicating everything to your 50 trillion cells and DNA. In infancy, experience was original and authentic, what Blake called the pre-story period, before the fall from innocence to experience. Unlike babies who look at the world with wonder, adults become trapped in time. Being timeless isn't mystical, but immediately accessible. Time exists in three states: waking clock time, dream time, and the absence of time during dreamless sleep, all tied to our state of consciousness. Time doesn't exist outside human awareness. There is no absolute clock time out there. The human mind resembles a still lake disturbed by a pebble. In ordinary experience, thoughts continuously pop into existence, preventing us from experiencing pure consciousness, the still surface of the lake. The direct path aims to recover the experience of this still, undisturbed state of awareness, which is whole mind containing infinite human potential. Within the experience of mental silence lies something attractive, a faint presence or sense of self where we feel most natural, relaxed, free, and present. These glimpses of the true self bring experiences of love, joy, peace, and self-worth that illuminate human existence. Yet this sense of self cannot be trained or disciplined into being. It simply is. Effort is not only useless but damaging, as Krishnamurti noted when he asked, "Can you discipline your mind to be free?" When we are whole, the world becomes whole, a profound shift from our current divided state. Despite calling ourselves mammals, most believe they have souls, setting humanity apart from nature while simultaneously threatening it. Yet a shift in collective consciousness is emerging, exemplified by a viral video of a grateful octopus that appeared to thank a man who rescued it from certain death on a beach. Respected neuroscientist Christoph Koch challenges the notion that consciousness is exclusive to humans, pointing out that animal intelligence isn't primitive or correlated with brain size. Bees demonstrate remarkable navigational skills and associative memory, the same cognitive function Marcel Proust famously described in literature. Koch argues that consciousness cannot be arbitrarily limited based on biological simplicity, declaring that numerous species, from bees to whales, are capable of sophisticated, learned behaviors. The octopus, despite appearing alien with its eight arms and beak, occupies the same cosmic status as humans, alive and self-aware. Naturalist Sin Montgomery's research shows octopuses can recognize individual humans, forming distinct preferences and even grudges that persist over time. Despite anatomical differences, most octopus neurons reside in their arms rather than their brains, they display remarkably individual behaviors and personalities, suggesting consciousness manifests uniquely across diverse life forms. Cosmic consciousness doesn't distribute itself hierarchically among species, but rather functions like a hologram where even a fragment contains the whole. The physical universe emerged not from nothing, but from a conception in cosmic consciousness that unfolded into material form. This capacity for manifestation extends to humans. We can instantly visualize complex structures like the Eiffel Tower from mere verbal concepts. For centuries, humans attributed creation to God as the first mover, primum mobile, the perfect divine engineer setting creation in motion. Medieval cosmology, beautifully captured in Dante's Divine Comedy, envisioned nine fiery rings, angelic orders, whirling around an intense central light, maintaining creation's perfection. Today, without this divine framework, we feel bewildered and guilty about our imperfections and environmental destruction. This book proposes that creation unfolds from pure consciousness without a divine artist's predetermined vision, just endless evolution embracing all storylines without moral judgment. The evolution of consciousness provides a boundaryless explanation where the miraculous and mundane coexist. One purpose of this book is demystifying the awakening process. The direct path should be effortless and natural, with timing varying based on individual starting points. Unlike learning skills like languages or cooking, waking up isn't rule-based or teachable in conventional ways. No special lifestyle is required. You continue living normally, but with new assumptions. That real reality differs from virtual reality. That you are whole at the true self level, and that this true self offers a better way to live. These assumptions need testing, which is the purpose of Chopra's month-long self-experiment. Waking up should be effortless, beginning exactly where you are right now. Your life flows as experiences, starting with the five senses. Our five senses provide only a small fraction of available reality. Seeing is believing applies to just a sliver of data bombarding our eyes each second. Waking up expands this bandwidth to increase perception. Experience defines us, but we're tuned to only one bandwidth, the me channel, creating a narrow identity. Other living things experience different bandwidths we can barely imagine. Humans, however, can change channels at will. Reality is only as narrow as our awareness, and when fully awakened, we access the entire bandwidth, making reality unlimited. The me channel broadcasts your body's existence through sensations, pleasure, and pain. The body isn't a thing, but a confederation of perceptions unified by your mind into a coherent image in time and space. Without this mental integration, the me channel would transmit only noise. Life gives us perceptions flowing through our five senses, not as continuous water from a faucet, but as individual raindrops. Each sensation begins fading as soon as it's noticed. Every thought vanishes by the time it registers. Awakening means no longer ignoring this reality and releasing the need to convert fleeting sensations into stories. Like a photographer behind thousands of photos, you remain constant behind endless sensory snapshots. Your senses deliver raw data that changes endlessly. But you are the constant, seeing, arranging, transforming random perceptions into something meaningful. This mostly happens automatically, but awakening lets you see this process, giving you freedom to create. Despite our 7 billion individual stories, humanity shares one life. The fate of our planet depends on realizing this fundamental unity. Once we do, human evolution can progress to the meta-human state. Consciousness unites everything. All objects represent mind and motion. The modern world prides itself on amassing knowledge, yet anything we can count, measure, or reduce to data is part of an all-encompassing illusion. Only by waking up can we experience the unity of one life directly.